Welcome back to Global Media Network. Passionate World Radio Network is a wholly owned subsidiary of GMN LLC. Our model is and always will be educate, enlighten, and entertain. And this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, depending where you live, we have two special guests. We have Lisa Johnson and Chris Berry, who wrote a book together, Been There, Got Out, Toxic Relationships, High Conflict, Divorce. Excellent. Hold it up there, guys. And How to Stay Sane Under Insane Circumstances. In fact, you could probably say that about today's political atmosphere, too, with all the narcissists people running around in Washington, D.C. So welcome to the show. And before we proceed, Chris and Lisa, please give a little background about yourself so the audience know who they're viewing today.
Okay, Chris, you want to start
us off, Lisa?
Yeah, so usually, Lillian, first of all, thank you so much for having us today. We're excited to be on with you. We're usually in the same place when we do interviews physically, so we can, I was joking with Lisa this morning, like, we can poke ourselves under the table or point to each other off camera, say, you answer this one, or I'll answer this one, you know, but we don't have that today, so.
Okay, I'll start pointing, all right, so. And I'll make sure that I don't give you cross signals.
Oh, it's hard for me to tell.
Go ahead.
So Lisa and I, first off, we're a romantic couple and we don't talk about that very often, but I'll leave with it today. We've been together for more than 8 years. And early in our relationship, we were both separated from our former spouses, but our divorces weren't final yet. And both of them were going just terribly and taking forever and bills running up and just awful, awful, awful. And we had been together about 6 months or so when I found an article on narcissism, which I knew I used to use the word narcissist like everybody else tends to use it, like somebody with a big ego who likes a lot of attention. I found the article. I said, oh my God, this explains everything that went on in the relationship, everything that's going on in the divorce. And I shared it with Lisa. And to summarize her reaction, it was like, me too. So over the past 8 years, we've taken kind of a winding path, but we are now high conflict divorce coaches. We help people who are suffering in relationships with toxic personality types struggling to get out of those relationships and even after they're out co-parenting. So we work with those people to try and help them deal with the same stuff we dealt with.
And there's usually after effects as well.
Yeah. So, all right. So Chris, you had your turn. Now I have my turn to talk a little bit about not just us, but with what's brought us to doing Been There, Got Out. So along the way in these past 8 and 9 years, this is my 9th year in the legal system. I always say, dealing with my own situation, and I've been representing myself for 6 years. So I've been to court in 2 states about 100 times in these past 6-ish years. And I've prevailed, which is unusual as a pro se or self-represented litigant. And so we often start our initial calls with people by giving them a little background. And one of the things I'm most proud of with this business and with my personal accomplishments is that my case is now case law for my state. So even though I'm not an attorney, my ex and his attorneys appealed 4 times and I beat them on the appellate court level. And it was so notable that it was published in the Connecticut Law Journal in March of 2021. So that's a really big deal. And like I said, I'm super proud of that. And then the other thing that we bring to our business and to our lives is advocacy. And I was able to submit live testimony a couple of years ago as well for something called Jennifer's Law, which passed and made Connecticut the 3rd state to expand its legal definition of domestic violence to include something called coercive control, which is mostly like all the other kinds of abuse besides physical. So now courts have to look at the bigger picture when they're determining safety for child custody cases and restraining orders and that kind of thing. And then something else that happened was my ex decided to sue us for $4 million in defamation in civil court. And this past fall, and we I freaked out. Chris didn't. And luckily this spring on our own, we got it dismissed and thrown out of court. So we've been dealing with a lot, but we've been very lucky. And so it's not just luck, it's learning. And so that's what we bring to our, to Been There, Got Out, is the education and what we've learned so much along the way. We've had a lot of successes ourselves in our personal lives with both of us as a couple, you know, surviving this together, and also now being able to share what we've learned with the world and having the benefit of, I should say the pleasure of seeing so many of our clients and our community also experience success in a court that is considered broken.
Well, it's very difficult sometimes to prove abuse, especially verbal and emotional, because you cannot hold it up and say, this is what exactly happened, the way you can with physical abuse.
Right.
The same, and mental abuse, you, of course, you can show the results of mental abuse and what happens after it's applied enough times. You can say torture, which is specifically what it is, torture. But the other types, emotional and verbal, is very difficult to show the after effects or the effects, because that's something that the victim carries the rest of their lives unless it's dealt with immediately. So what kind of, when you put the book together, what do you tell people? How do you read a book like that? Do you read a particular chapter? Do you identify with a particular type of abuse from the narcissists themselves? Or how do you suggest or advise a person to read it so they can benefit the most from your wisdom?
Well, I'm sure that Lisa will have a lot to add to this, but what we try to do is offer practical, actionable advice. So there's a lot of stuff out there that's like, you know, focus on yourself and healing and all those things. And that's all really important. I'm not diminishing the value of those things, and having the right support is absolutely critical. But what Lisa and I really try to do is give people stuff like, what can I do about it? Right? How do I, a lot of people come to us when they're in the midst of like a custody battle. They're just getting out of the relationship. They've often just figured out what the problem is. And I want to get back to what you said about proving abuse. Proving abuse is super important when it comes to getting a restraining order or something like that. But when it comes to custody issues, which are often, and financial issues too, that are associated with divorce, but custody is always like one, and then like financial is 1A for most of the people that we're working with. And shockingly, abuse has very little to do with custody. And so a part of what we'll say to a lot of people, it's not true for everyone, but we say you don't try to prove abuse. If you lead with that story, it's not going to help your case.
Well, Chris, clarify it when it doesn't involve the kids.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm talking about one partner to another, that kind of abuse, especially if it's not physical. If it doesn't involve the children, it probably isn't going to carry a lot of weight in a custody case. So part of it is saying, like, get back away from that mentality of you want to hold him accountable or hold her accountable or prove this or prove that. Family court is not where you go for validation or vindication. It's where you go to keep your kids safe and get out hopefully intact.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I particularly learned along the way is that judges really don't care, and that they care, and then they're on to the next motion or the next matter, because they're so overburdened with families that they have to deal with. So I used to write these impassioned speeches early on in my career as a self-represented litigant, where I'm like, you know, I'd get through the first paragraph of 7 pages, I'd be like, okay, but what are you here for? And I'd be like, oh. So we try to help our clients understand that the court's limited in what it can actually do. Usually in family court, they can deal with money and they can deal with time. That's it. They're not interested in all the rest of the things. And because you have such limited time, you, if you are self-represented, or your lawyer, is only going to have to focus on the motions at hand and how to resolve those issues as quickly as possible. And so our lawyers we interview and everyone we talk to, we really say you have to find other places to get this the emotional support and validation. But echoing what Chris said, family court is absolutely not the place. Unfortunately, people still think it is because of the movies we see and what we're led to believe that the justice system is the place that you find justice, but it's not that kind of justice.
So what you're saying then is once they can identify what's going on and look at your book, if and when they go to court, there's actually a secret sauce that they have to use in order to capture the judge's attention to what the problem is.
Right.
And you tell them what secret sauce they need specifically to use.
Well, I mean, it's not that simple. If there was like a special one tip secret, then we wouldn't have court because
it wouldn't be a book. It would be a pamphlet.
Right. No, but one of the main things that secret sauce involves is something we call presentation. And that's how you behave, how you conduct yourself in court. And one thing that matters the most is that you do not show loads of emotion, because even though this is such an emotional experience and we want to express ourselves, like I said, the court is not built to deal with all that emotion and they don't like it. So if you think you're going to go and cry and get sympathy, it's not going to work. So we help our clients be as calm as possible by staying very focused and organized. So when they understand what exactly is going on, what the judge expects, what the custody evaluator expects to see, then they can put together the information they need and prepare it. And this also calms them down because most people have never been through something like this before, and it's terrifying. And the unknown scares us in general. So when they know what to expect, they can calm down and thus present better in court.
And the other side in these cases will behave just so crazily, almost not in their own self-interest at times. And if you don't understand and expect it, you can just spin your wheels. I mean, my divorce took 3 years and cost a small fortune, and there was no need for it. It just, I didn't know what I was doing yet. And I didn't know that. I'm like, why is she doing this? Like, I spent a year just going back and forth with wasted negotiations and watch money fly out the window. It's so common.
It is. I mean, when I went to court, the linchpin was, did I have permission to take the child with me when I left the state? And that, you know, once they learned that I had my ex-spouse's permission, it was over in about 20 seconds. Because they established I had the right to take my child so he wouldn't be abused anymore. End of story. But if you're not aware of what you need to do ahead of time, that's when you start sinking into the quagmire. And most people are not equipped with this type of information because it's not provided. Nobody tells you this stuff.
Right.
And worse, most attorneys aren't familiar with these kinds of cases because they're not, I mean, they're everywhere in terms of, if you look at the world, there's lots of them, but they really only represent about 5 to 10% of the cases that most family law attorneys deal with. And so when they come along, like, it's very common for our clients, and certainly Lisa's own attorney told her this, that like, this is the craziest case I've ever had. And they don't know how to deal with it. And a lot of our clients will say to us, like, I need to find a lawyer who understands narcissism. And we say, no, you don't. You need to find a lawyer. They're few and far between. They're the unicorns. They exist. But you need to find a lawyer who advocates for you, gets things filed on time, understands what you're trying to achieve, your goals, understands the legal system, knows how to navigate that judge's courtroom, hopefully has a working relationship with the other attorney, those kinds of things. Those are the legal things. What you need to do is fill in the gaps. I think a lot of times I think of it like bricks and mortar, where the attorney's the brick, and you got to fill in around and make up for the fact that this case is going to be a little bit different than most attorneys deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, we often have to remind our clients.
They have to know the state law.
Yeah. But we talk about how
they have to be aware of what each state in.
Right. But as a general tactic, we often note how attorneys, like law school, if you look at any LSAT, it's logic. It's trained in being rational and being logical. And so that's what the way most lawyers approach things, especially these cases. But in the cases that we deal with all the time, the high conflict cases, and I'm talking one person is high conflict, not both, they're completely irrational. So logic doesn't work. And that's what drives up the bills. That's what made my divorce take a year. That's what made Chris's divorce take 3 years. That's why I'm still in the system 9 years later, because it's irrational. And we often talk about the need for people to have support while they're getting through it. And sometimes friends and family who, you know, although a lot of our clients have been isolated from friends and family, but if you do have friends and family, they'll be like, well, why doesn't the judge just do this? Or why doesn't your ex just do what's best for the kids? Or why? It's like, because they're not rational. It doesn't work like that. And that's why it is so important to do what we call take strategic oversight of your case. What Chris noted is like filling in the gaps that lawyers don't know and say, well, I know it seems like it's this way, but I know this person better than anyone. And I have a feeling that this might work. And this is why.
And that's good to know. I mean, when I was coming through the ranks with my divorce, it was during the 70s, and I had a pretty good lawyer, and he was well aware of what children's rights were for the state in which I was in. And once he took care of that and he handled the federal kidnapping charge, we were okay. But if your lawyer is not astute or up to date with what's happening with children's services and how they look at things, it can be very difficult. And I don't think most married couples really pay attention to how someone's behavior is going to influence what's going to take place in court. Right. And how it's going to affect the kids if you have kids that are involved. Or an involved child that hasn't been born yet, but a lot of states have declared the fetus is a citizen of that particular state. So you have to be very careful how you approach something. So what kind of advice can you give folks when they pick up your book, they read it, and they say, this is something I need to do? What would you advise them to do before they jump in, because everything is going into just blowing up in their face and they cannot handle it? I'm sure there's a way of you're going to say to them, take a deep breath first and then recognize there are certain things that you need to do, right?
Yep. Chris, do you want to go first or should I?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the way to answer your question is what advice we would give. It's in the book. I mean, we obviously can't cover everything or it would be this thick, but if we try to cover from when you first realize something's wrong and first suspect that it might be because the other person, it has something going on psychologically. We're not psychologists, we're not trained mental health professionals. We focus more on behaviors, but when their behavior is consistent with what we describe in the book, it's kind of going to be predictable through the process. So we try to lay the groundwork for getting out safely, how to document correctly and really in a targeted fashion, and focusing your narrative on the things that are going to matter in court. As Lisa said before, presentation, having strategic oversight, choosing the right lawyer for you, how the other side's going to behave in court, who the different players are. Family court to me was a complete mystery. And I think, Lillian, you touched on it earlier when you were talking about you go into this courtroom and you're completely unfamiliar with the environment. And what I would add to that is so much hangs in the balance. I mean, this is, I feared for my role as a father, and I love being a dad. I coach all my kids, they're older now, all my kids or both my kids in all their sports and was very, very involved. I worked from home, so I was always around. And I was afraid that role was going to be diminished. Unfortunately, it hasn't been. But there's fear and there's the unknown. So we try and pull back the shroud on what family court is really all about. And just and then get into strategic communications, which is another thing that's really important to make yourself look good. And how to deal with it, the aftermath as well, as you said, co-parenting with the person after, because you never know, you might be back in court at some point down the road.
Yeah, and I think what our book does that's different is because we focus on high conflict divorce and separations rather than just divorce overall. High conflict is really, really different. And there's a term that a lawyer friend of ours used, I don't know if he made it up, but it's called barstool counsel. And often when people get divorced, they tend to talk to their friends or people they know who have gotten divorced to get advice. But this can be really, really damaging and dangerous, not because the laws are different at different times and in different places, but because everyone's situation is very different. And like I said before, with the friends and family who are trying to support you saying, well, why doesn't this just happen? Why doesn't that just happen? When you are speaking to people who don't know the intimacy and the intricacies of your situation, you should not be listening because, first of all, it can make you feel even more isolated. And secondly, high conflict divorce, you're dealing with someone who is not looking out for sometimes their own best interests and certainly not for your children's best interests. So you're not dealing with a normal type of person. And so again, these cases have to be approached very, very differently. And you have to surround yourself with people and professionals who understand the difference between these cases and can explain to you and guide you through this very different path. We'd guess like only 10%, maybe 15% of people go through this kind of separation divorce versus the rest of the world who gradually settle down and have some kind of level of amicable co-parenting. That's never going to happen for us and for our clients, unfortunately. The people that our exes are and our clients' exes are, they get angrier over time. Most people settle down. Ours do the opposite. You know, my ex is angrier than ever, and certainly after last week when I got another round of excellent court orders. But I mean, time doesn't fix things for these kinds of people. And so you really have to understand what's coming and what to expect and how to protect yourself and your kids.
Yeah, we just talked with a client this morning who's been out for several years, and her ex just rented an apartment across the street from her so he could keep tabs on her.
Right.
Sounds about right. I mean, that's how they operate.
Right.
That's why they are who they are, right?
Yeah.
And they're not going to change.
Right.
They don't want to change. I mean, it's about control.
Yeah.
And manipulation.
And that's another thing we talk about a lot with people we come across is that once you get out of the relationship, you think, okay, good, it's over. I have to maybe deal with, there's kids involved, I've got to deal with the transitions and whatnot. But no, they don't stop. They're relentless. And what they do is they focus their efforts on the typically three ways they can still get at you to exert power and control. And it's the courts, it's money, and worst of all, it's the kids.
Yeah, because the children are an extension of what they can use in order to torment or to go after the other parent.
Exactly. And
so
we see it all the time.
All right. I hope everybody else does too.
Yeah.
Where can people find your book? Where can people find you on the World Wide Web? How can they get in touch with you? All those very important questions.
Super easy. You can just Google Been There, Got Out. That's the name of our company, who we are. The book, is also called Been There, Got Out, Toxic Relationships, High Conflict Divorce, and How to Stay Sane Under Insane Circumstances. It's on Amazon. It's on Wordy. Our publisher is Wordeee. The best way to find us directly is through our website, beentheregotout.com. If you want to meet and see if and how we might be able to help you, you just click the red button on the homepage that will take you to our calendar to schedule a free session where we can figure out specific ways that we can help you moving forward. We get to hear a little bit about your story. And then we are pretty big on social media, specifically Instagram. If you look up at Been There Got Out with little underscores between, you'll find us. We have tons and tons of content. We have a podcast called Been There Got Out. We have a YouTube channel. Chris, what else? We're on LinkedIn, TikTok.
Yeah, we're pretty much everywhere, but it does start on Instagram. And I just wanted to add about the book, the way Amazon does stuff around the world, because Lillian, you've got a global, right? A global audience. I guess you can't, it's got an American.
Yeah, I have a global audience.
All the different countries. So you can't always get our print book in every part of the world, but you can go to Wordee, as Lisa says, WORDEEE.com. And you can find our book there. You can get it the audio version, so you don't have to worry about international shipping. And it's only like, I think it's $8 or $9, Lisa. I think it's $8.
Chris, it's not audio, it's Kindle, right?
I mean, I'm sorry, Kindle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds really very good. Are you planning on coming out with a sequel to it?
Yep.
Great question.
I kind of figured you would. I mean, that's not the last word, but I had to ask anyway.
Yep. Yeah, the next one.
I mean, you can make it into cereal for that matter.
The number one question we get from people in every stage of the process is, I'm in this horrible situation. How can my kids be okay? Lisa?
That's our next book.
Yeah. Does not surprise me, because one of my questions were, but I'll save it for when I bring you back, is that a lot of the kids may want to take both their parents to court for their behavior towards them.
Or yeah, that's
not that, grandparents have been known to interfere as well. There's a lot, just it's not the way it was 100 or 200 years ago where people knew their places and pretty much stayed to where they were assigned. That's not how our world works anymore. So that there are a lot of interference from grandparents, for example, or good friends of the family who look in and they see the battles that are taking place, and they want to save the children so that they do not continue this type of behavior.
Right. Or
so
or
I Lillian, you have your hands full.
We see situations where the extended family, the friends, whoever it is, they're part of the problem.
The community.
Whether they're the ones who actually
the community,
have
yes.
the mental health issue themselves, or whether they're just sort of like henchmen or henchwomen or minions of the toxic person. So yeah, these situations get very complicated.
I understand that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have met both Chris and Lisa. They've held up their books. Please go over to Amazon or to Wordee and purchase them, because I'm sure if you're not in that type of relationship, you probably know somebody. I mean, that was my mother to a D, although I have survived her. So it's good to know. And even if you're not in a relationship, you can learn to recognize it maybe in your kids' friends. You don't know, and you want to play their savior. You don't know, but it's always good to know. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. You can see this interview all over again on youtube.com/PWR Network_PW Talk Radio, on linkedin.com/Passionate World Radio, on facebook.com/Passionate World Radio, and of course on our website, PassionateWorldTalkRadio.com. Thank you once again, and everybody have a terrific day.
Thank you, Lillian.
Thank you.